Welcome to Artrageous, a weekly podcast about the truly outrageous stories in the art and design world. Hey guys, Carrie here with our next installment of the Artrageous podcast. Last time we talked about all things Super Bowl and NFL and sports graphics, but today we're talking about something a little darker. Okay, maybe in a more physical hue, saturation, shade context rather than overall story mood, but still. I'm talking about the world's blackest black and how one artist bought exclusive rights to the pigment. Originally, I came across this story as a horribly low-resolution set of screenshots from some blogging thread somewhere, but it was shared on Facebook in a multi-photo post back in 2016 when all of this went down. At the time, I was sitting at my desk in college, probably procrastinating on one of my art assignments, and I found myself just absolutely dying laughing at this story and how ridiculous it was. Knowing me, it was one of those nights where I had probably stayed up way too late working on a project, and the overtired sense of delirium had kicked in to the point where I would have thought almost anything was funny. Now, we can talk in another episode about colors, things like what is a color, what's not a color, shades, tints, tones, hues, all that nerdy art school stuff. But the pigment in question today is what, in 2014, was considered the world's blackest black. Known as Vanta Black, this material was created by a company called Surrey Nanosystems and is designed to absorb 99.965% of visible light. If you're an artist or just a very observant person, you might have at some point wondered why, even if you try to make something black, it might not appear truly black. Somehow, no matter what you do, the surface always ends up looking more like a very dark shade of gray. So let's say you take a wooden cube and paint it black with a standard black acrylic paint that you can get at any craft store. If you put it on a table, even once it's dry, you'll notice that you can still clearly see that the cube has multiple sides and some type of three-dimensional shape to it. You can try painting it with other mediums that you think are quote-unquote black, but I can almost guarantee that you'll still be able to see that it has a three-dimensional form. This is because our eyes perceive form through the way light bounces off of an object. It's normal for something painted black to still have form because the object is reflecting light back into your eyes. The black doesn't appear to be a true black because the surface of the object and the black itself always reflects back some amount of light, no matter what you do. Much like you and your cube and your attempts to try to prove me wrong, people have struggled for a long time to get the truest, blackest black possible. Throughout history, artists have tried to use different materials, pigments, anything to get the truest form of black that they can. But you can only make the paint or material you're working with so dark. That's why Vanta Black was so revolutionary. While the material was originally created for other applications, its ability to absorb light so completely has caught the attention of the art world. This new material can finally do something that artists have unsuccessfully been trying to do for centuries. You can finally paint a cube and it will literally appear like it's a flat shape sitting on top of the table. You can paint a sphere and it'll appear like a void deeper and darker than your ex's heart after they stole your favorite hoodie. But how does it do the thing that no one else could do? Well, apparently it comes down to the science behind the structure of the material itself. Vanta Black is composed of a collection of vertical carbon nanotubes that are grown on a surface using a modified chemical vapor deposition process. That's basically just smart people words saying that it's complicated and expensive to make. The material's ability to absorb light so successfully is due to that nanotube structure. As light reaches the material, instead of bouncing off, it becomes trapped in those nanotubes. Once there, the light is continually deflected back and forth amongst the tubes where it eventually becomes absorbed and is dissipated as heat. Scientific structure aside, the creators were able to modify this material into a sprayable paint that's almost as effective as the original. With the original structure grown in the lab, all of those little nanotubes were aligned perfectly. But when you turn it into a spray and eject them through a paint can nozzle, they aren't going to be so nice and neat. Even though these carbon nanotubes are now really randomly aligned, they're still surprisingly effective at absorbing light. And in the paint format, they can be put on virtually anything to make it appear formless. If you're an artist or a creative thinker yourself, you might be able to see how amazing the potential applications of the material could be. Even NASA could use it to help prevent stray light from entering telescopes and improve infrared cameras both on Earth and in space. But artistically, the applications are nearly endless. So you can imagine how angry people were when one man got his hands on this material and decided to use his stupid amounts of money to buy exclusive rights to that material. Who is this man? His name is Anish Kapoor. You may not recognize the name, but you'll probably recognize his work. Anish Kapoor is a contemporary British-born Indian sculptor and installation artist whose works like The Bean in Chicago's Millennium Park stand in infamy. Kapoor, like all the other struggling artists before him, had also pursued the effect of a true black. In one of his works from 1992 called Descent into Limbo, he created a really intriguing installation where he took a roughly 20-square-foot cube of a room with a circular hole in the floor, and then he painted the walls of the hole black to give the impression of an absolute void. His website describes it as a space full of darkness, not a hole in the ground. But really, much to the displeasure of one man who found out the hard way by falling into it, it's basically a hole in the ground somewhere in a museum in Portugal. Somehow, despite the signs and warnings saying, hey, it's actually a hole and you could really fall in, a 60-year-old Italian man found himself suddenly at the bottom of this 8-foot-deep pit. As an old man, I hope he didn't get too many flash forwards into his future being 6, or rather 8 feet under, but thankfully he wasn't hurt too badly and turned out to be okay after a quick hospital trip. That being said, this wasn't the first time Anish Kapoor had experimented with trying to paint something really dark and had made headlines in the process. Knowing that, it's almost not surprising when his initially innocent interest in Vantablack became controversial in 2016. After a few years of experimentation with Vantablack, Kapoor somehow managed to strike a deal with the company that created it and was able to buy the exclusive rights to Vantablack's use as an art material. Naturally, this caused immediate friction in the art world. A lot of artists were really upset about it and denounced Kapoor's actions, saying that he was stealing from the artistic community. Which, if you think about it, how could one man gain the exclusive rights to something like a color and prevent other people and artists from using it in their work? That seems almost criminal and unfathomable. And yet here we are. Although it seems really crazy, there's sort of a precedent to Kapoor's monopolization of the material. In the 1960s, a French artist named Yves Klein created a blue pigment that became his signature color. Much like Frank's Red Hot, he put that shit on everything. Canvases, walls, sculptures, people he got to roll around on canvases. Talk about blue everywhere. Even to this day, that very specific blue is still called International Klein Blue. But even though it was a signature color, he wasn't the only person that could legally use it. Other artists could still use it here and there, and they wouldn't be sued for it. But beyond legal restrictions, some art materials have been difficult to access for other reasons. One color I can think of off the top of my head is ultramarine blue. The pigment itself was originally made with powdered lapis lazuli, which was prohibitively expensive for artists who couldn't afford it. That's why you'll rarely see this particular shade of blue in pre-19th century works unless it's a really special occasion or a really special piece. But you've probably heard of ultramarine blue before, and that's because a synthetic alternative was developed in the 19th century that allowed the color to be used by a lot more people. Unlike ultramarine blue, mummy brown hasn't fared too well. You might have guessed by its name, but the pigment was made using ground-up bits of mummies. Well, since we don't have as many mummies lying around to grind up and make the paint pigment, you can't get the real thing anymore, and you'll have to settle for alternatives. But I digress. While there is a precedent for a more exclusive use of certain colors, neither of the examples I just mentioned are as legally binding and restrictive to artists as Anish Kapoor's purchase to the exclusive rights of Vantablack. This is where the controversy comes in. It's not a question of expense restricting artists from using the material, it's that Kapoor has bought exclusive artistic rights to the material. So even if you got your hands on some, you could find yourself in a lawsuit if Kapoor finds out that you've used it in any kind of artistic context. Another sticking point for artists, and just morality in general, is that it's not like Kapoor actually created the color himself. If he had, then maybe it would be less justifiable to be as mad as all these artists are over the situation. But that's not the case. Vanta Black is not Kapoor's own intellectual property. He just bought the rights to it. Arguably, the biggest and most important reason artists are upset about this whole thing is that Vanta Black itself has an inherent and very powerful emotional quality because of what it is at its very essence. It's the world's blackest black. It has such a visceral aesthetic power. Mummy brown was a murky, muddy, mummy color, and Klein's blue was just a shade of blue. But Vanta Black is the purest and most complete black on the market. That's incredibly enticing to so many people and so many artists. And this allure is what sent the art world reeling. It's amusing to me that Kapoor tried to explain away his actions as a collaboration, which is something that all freelance and fine artists have kind of learned to roll their eyes at nowadays. Despite his justifications, a lot of people are left completely baffled at how someone could monopolize a material so completely and rob the art world of its full potential. It isn't right that it belongs to one man. To some, calling it a crime is an understatement. Others say that Kapoor did it out of greed and malice. Regardless of intention, you can bet that's not where the art world's reaction ended. Things got outrageous. Welcome back, guys. We're just about to get into the crazy portion of the story, so let's jump right back into it. Up until now, we've mostly talked about an artist named Anish Kapoor and the world's blackest black, but you probably noticed another color and another name in the episode title. That's because one British artist in particular chose action when Anish Kapoor obtained exclusive rights for Vanta Black. Like other artists, Stuart Semple was intrigued by the possibilities that presented themselves with the creation of Vanta Black, and like others, he was angered when those possibilities were pushed into a deep, dark hole that notably was not painted with Vanta Black. After Semple learned that Kapoor had purchased an artistic monopoly on the material, that's when Semple hatched a plan. At the end of 2016, retribution against Kapoor was launched in a very poetic fashion in the form of a new pigment that Semple had created, which he claimed to be the world's pinkest pink. Much to my amusement, Semple then posted it for sale on his website with this legal rider: "By adding this product to your cart, you confirm that you are not Anish Kapoor, you are in no way affiliated with Anish Kapoor, you are not purchasing this item on behalf of Anish Kapoor, or an associate of Anish Kapoor. To the best of your knowledge, information, and belief, this paint will not make its way into the hands of Anish Kapoor." I nearly cried laughing at this point in the post. Like, the level of petty and bold and just artistically free you have to be to put something like that out there is just so amazing and fun. This stuff is true to its name, and it is absolutely some of the pinkest pink color I have ever seen. Originally, Semple thought he would only sell one or two of the powdered pink pigment tins, but as Semple says, the website itself was almost like a piece of performance art, and the pink jar would be like an artwork. Semple then found himself filling thousands of orders for jars of the pinkest pink. But if that's the worst that happened in this game of F around and find out, then it's really not that bad, right? But the story didn't end there. Despite the legal disclaimer on the site, which I have my own doubts about how legally binding or effective it is, somehow Anish Kapoor got his hands, or rather finger, on the pigment. A very specific finger, to be exact. The antagonism between Semple and Kapoor went very public in late 2016 when Kapoor dipped his middle finger in Semple's pinkest pink and posted a photo to Instagram. The post went viral. With the ante severely upped, Semple, of course, had to strike back. Following his original tactic, where if someone claims exclusive rights to a color, you just make a new color, Semple began developing a prototype black paint in early 2017 to try to rival Vanta Black. He collaborated with multiple other artists to keep improving the pigment and darken its color to get the blackest black that he possibly could. If he could make a black that had the same effect as Vanta Black, that would render Kapoor's exclusive rights to the color as pointless and almost obsolete. Almost. Eventually, Semple's Black 2.0 was unveiled and made publicly available to everyone except Anish Kapoor. And if you thought that was the end of that, then you may have severely underestimated the pettiness and the also greatness that lives in the art world. Semple has since created a third iteration of his black paint, as well as Diamond Dust, which is a product he calls the world's most glittery glitter. And of course, none of these products are available to Anish Kapoor. I think what's even more hilarious in all of this is that Anish Kapoor went to all the effort of getting exclusive rights to Vanta Black, and yet he hasn't really been able to do much with it. The material is super expensive and difficult to produce in large quantities, so coating something like the bean in Chicago in that Vanta Black material is way more trouble than it's worth. And after all of that, if you're an artist or anyone that has an idea for a truly black black, you're in luck. Aside from Semple's Black 3.0 that's available in 5 fluid ounce tubes for $29.99, you'll be happy to note that Vanta Black is no longer the world's blackest black. In 2019, a material was developed at MIT that absorbs 99.995% of visible light. So with that extra 0.03% difference, the material is no longer the exclusive Vanta Black, and artists can now relax just a little bit. MIT's black was first unveiled in an artistic context in a new artwork called The Redemption of Vanity that was installed at the New York Stock Exchange. We also saw a variant of Vanta Black used in what they call the Vanta Black Pavilion at the 2018 Winter Olympics, and it was also used to coat a BMW X6 concept car. If you were at Coachella in 2019, which I most definitely was not at, you might have noticed that French musician Gzavelstein used the Vanta Black variant as part of his stage decoration during his performance. And I wouldn't be doing my due diligence in the research of this story if I hadn't also taken a look at Stuart Semple's website to see if the world's pinkest pink was still listed for sale. And yeah, to this day, it's still out there. What's even funnier is that almost 7 years later, the vendetta against Anish Kapoor is still all over Semple's website. You know how every website you go to these days has those annoying cookie pop-up messages? Semple's website has warnings against Anish Kapoor in the cookie messages and in the pop-up to subscribe to the site's newsletter. If you go to buy the pink powder or black 3.0 paint, the product descriptions all throw some not-so-subtle jabs at Kapoor. The Pinkest Pink reads, "This ultra-bright paint by Stuart Semple is available to everyone except Anish Kapoor, who won't share his black." And it still has that ridiculous legal rider from earlier in the story. If you look at the product description for Black 3.0, it lists, "No need for cooking, vacuum chambers, or weapons-grade scientists. Smells like fresh coffee. And not available to Kapoor." So even to this day, the vendetta in story lives on. What do you guys think? Is this story crazy? Is it petty? Is it at least a little fun? I think it's super easy to sometimes think of the art world as just fine arts and galleries with stuffy, overly rich people paying millions of dollars for paint splatters on canvases or a banana taped to a wall. But this story just gives me a really good laugh at how things can sometimes get a little crazy and unpredictable. Hopefully you can see why it's one of my all-time favorites, and I'm so happy I finally got a chance to share it here on the podcast. Here's a fun side note about this story before we wrap up, and a little behind the scenes for the show. This is actually the story that got me started with this podcast. In my mind, basically all origins of Artrageous can be traced back to this one story. If I ever find myself in a really awkward silence or trying to find something to talk to someone about, this is my go-to story. I think I've been telling it for a few years now, and I would guesstimate that it has about a 97.2% success rate of breaking some ice. Or let's go with 99.995, since that's the percentage of light that the new Vanta Black blocks out. So at the very least, this story has that going for it. I don't know why it's stuck with me over the years, but after talking with people and seeing their reactions to it, it really got me thinking that maybe the concept of telling crazy stories like this was maybe a good idea for a podcast. I had literally this one story to start, but over a couple of days, I kept thinking about different episode ideas and I was writing them down as they came to me. And I think I ended up with a list of like 32 episode ideas or something like that, which I think is definitely enough to start a podcast. When I finally sat down and started seriously thinking about Artrageous, I had originally had this as the very first episode. But when thinking about the launch and timing, like I had to think about some marketing strategy stuff, and then some current events with the AI art episode came up, and then organizing the episodes in a way that made sense. Basically, it's just somehow pushed this story back to being the seventh episode in the series, even though it's still number one in my heart. So I'm sorry you guys had to wait so long to finally hear it, but if you like this week's episode or any of the topics so far, this is the portion of the episode where I appeal to you to just take 2 seconds of your valuable time and leave me a 5-star review if you haven't already. It means the world to me, and it really does more than you think as I'm trying to grow the show and get more episodes out there for you guys. Speaking of more episodes, I'm not yet sure what's on deck for next week's episode. All I know is that if it's not a good story, you won't find it here. So stay tuned for another episode coming your way next Thursday. Until then, stay Artrageous. Series music created by Arensen. Music and transition sounds licensed from Motion Array. Artrageous is a proud partner of Stoveleg Media.
Stoveleg Media. Igniting conversation.